You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, 88.1 in Ithaca and 91.9 in Watkins Glen. And on this hour of the Made of Clay Report, our guest is Paw Faw. Is that how I pronounced it right?
Yes.
Okay. It's good to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
And the way I start the show out, and I know that from our exchanges on email, that this is something very new for you, and this is something very much in kind of a middle America tradition that may not be familiar. But so say a bit about who you are, where you're from, and who, what do we need to know to start the conversation?
My name is Paw Faw, and I am from Burma.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Burma. That's a small village. I don't even live in a town at all.
Yeah,
it's a small village. That's what that not many people. It's like about 100 villages.
Uh-huh.
And most people who live in that village are mostly farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And also my family's, my grandparents are farmer, and my father is a farmer, and he also a boat builder.
Mm-hmm.
So that he pretty much a boat builder.
So he builds boats and farms, so you have both fish, or were they boats for transportation or boats for fishing?
Boat for transportation, also boat for selling to make money too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
He is the best.
Oh, okay. Boats. And this was your father?
Yes.
So. And who are you here in the United States?
Well, since 1949,
uh-huh.
that's the Burmese and the Karen peoples are fighting, mm-hmm. having war. And in 1997, the Burmese military persecute, mm-hmm. our village, and then we have to leave.
Right.
And then we came to Thai refugee camp, and I lived there for 6 years, and then living in a refugee camp, I felt like you live in a cage.
Yes.
You don't have a future.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one thing I left and came here is my father was passed away in 2000.
Was he in the camp at that
yes,
time?
Yes. Yes. And that I am the only single that can look after my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have a big family. I have 16 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Wow. Yes, it's a lot. And 3 die and 13 alive.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in the same camp. And then I told my mom, okay, I need to leave the camp. And then in 2001, I came to Bangkok to come to United States, and I apply to come to United States, mm-hmm. but it's really difficult. It took me almost 3 years to get to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2004, June 8, 2004, and I get to come to Ithaca.
Uh-huh. And we're going to explore your story and your time here. Now, of your 13 brothers and sisters who are living,
mm-hmm.
Have they come here to join you, or are they where are they now?
12 of them are in Ithaca now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And only my older sister is still living in Thailand, because she moved out in the refugee camp to live with her husband.
Uh-huh.
So that she's the only one left.
Right. So she has a family in Thailand.
Yes, she has a family
in Thailand. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Paw, you brought some music with you, and mm-hmm. You wanted to start with a song, Blessings?
Yes, sure.
And do you want to say something about this music, this particular piece of music, or do you want us to just listen to it?
I talk about that after we listen.
Okay, very good.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not.
Story and blessings, and our guest on this hour of the Maid of Clay Report is Paul Pa. And did I get it right or not quite?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Paul, you know, you have been through refugee experience, driven out of Myanmar or Burma to Thailand as part of the Karen people. What do we need to hear? What about that story? What do we need to hear about that story? Because this is important.
Yeah, it's, you know, talk about your past, it's a little sad. Because when we left, it's like we left everything. And a thousand people became a refugee. And when we left, that you will see it's a lot of people are suffer.
100,000 people, 1,000 people.
Yeah, it's yes. The camp that I live. Yes, it's like 10,000 people.
Right.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's a very small square foot that mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. area people can live.
Right.
So that it's really bad.
And you left basically with what you could carry.
Yes. We so take everything. Whatever we can take.
Right.
We don't, that's why all the way to Thailand, you can see a lot of things that people throw away.
Right.
Because right. we move by based on the military because they're chasing us. And that's why. And when they hear the gunshot, that they start moving.
Right.
And until they have no place to live in Burma and right. that they get into the refugee camp. Mm-hmm. In February 2000, right. I think it's at almost May, March or May.
Right. That's when you got into the refugee. But you left, you started the leaving in 1997?
1990, February 1997, yes, okay. Around that.
Yeah. How old were you?
I was about, 70? Okay. I think 70, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
16 or 70. I was in high school.
Right. And are you among the older of your siblings?
No, I'm the fourth. I have two older sisters and one
older brother. One
older brother.
So you arrived in the camps as a teenager.
Right.
And then what did you do? How did you live in the camp, and how were you successful in getting to the U.S.? Because not everybody is.
Right. And well, in the camp, when you get in there, you have to build your own house.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much, when we ran separately, my mom and my parents were in the, and my brother siblings are in the camp first.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the camp 3 months later.
Right.
I'm hiding in the jungle. And after that, we just live there and we can't go out.
Right.
We're surrounded by the security guard.
You're in a prison, in a cage.
Pretty much, yeah. You have to obey, so otherwise when they caught you, they send you to jail.
Right. And you can't work because there are no jobs. No.
But it's some of people that they try to sneak out and work for the family, because based on what they give you is they give you rice and a few things that you can live on that. Even charcoal and firewood, you have to find it.
Right.
To cook for the food.
Right. So they may give you the food, but you don't have the fire to cook it with.
Right. Yeah. Right. We don't have electric like this. Right.
Yeah. So were you the first of your family to leave the camp?
Yes. Yes.
And how did you do that?
I have a friend that live in Bangkok. I sneak out at night and then went to Bangkok to live with them. And then when I was there, I went to the UNHCR office to recognize me as a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that, and it's about a year and a half, I got an answer that, okay, they recognize me as a refugee. But after that, I try to seek a way to come to United States to support my family.
Mm-hmm. How did you find, it took you 3 years to get to
the United States? Almost 3 years, yes.
Yeah. And how did you pick Ithaca?
I don't pick Ithaca.
How did Ithaca get picked for you?
Yes, I explained.
Yeah.
When I got the answer, then I can come to Ithaca. That's the NGO or whatever, the UNHCR, people who work for the UNHCR asked if I have any relative in the United States. I said, I have nobody. Send me whenever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
If I can come, that's the only reason I want. But somehow they sent my name to Ithaca. And then I have one of my sponsor. I got a sponsor through Presbyterian Church downtown here.
Yes, yes.
So, and one of my sponsor is there, Presbyterian Church member.
Mm.
And that's why. And also, I think also one of Burmese community here signed their name for me to come here. Right. That's when I get to come here.
So there was a Burmese community here, a little bit of a Burmese community.
Yeah, when I first came, they even have a refugee office here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
3 months later, after I got here, it got closed.
They moved it to Syracuse.
Moved to Binghamton. Yeah,
oh, Binghamton, Syracuse. Okay, Yes. So what has it been like for you? What did you do to make the transition to being in Ithaca? What did you have to learn? What did you have to do?
Well, first thing is it's really difficult to be away from the family because we are so close.
Right.
And I think it's the bigger challenge for me is to study a language. And it's really difficult because when I start going to VOCES,
mm-hmm.
ESL class, and then 3 months, and then I get a job and I quit going to school. But I tried to go back a few times. It doesn't work out
mm-hmm.
because I tried to be successful to...
To go back to study English or to go back
yeah,
to...
Yeah, to go back to study English.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I never make it through
right.
all the way.
Right, right. And you have to work. And one of the things that I've heard in many instances, if the men take jobs, their English skills do not get to be as strong as the women who may wait longer to take jobs if they have someone to help support.
Yeah, I think it's depend. I got a good friend at work.
Mm-hmm.
When I start, I only speak a little English. I start as a project at Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving books to a new library storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend that helped me through the difficult time to understand. And I think it's after that, my English has improved little by mm-hmm. little.
So you started by working as part of the library to move books.
Yes, yes.
Then what kinds of work have you done?
And it's a library job.
Yes, and you're still there. And
yes,
still in the library.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I started working then in 2005. It's mm-hmm. like a little after my first job. It's at Samuel Restaurant.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I was a dishwasher there
right. For
a year and a half. And then after I got a job at Cornell, I told them I'm going to leave. I got a job at Cornell. They said, no, you don't speak English. You can work there. I said, yes. And that the supervisor asked me, show me your paycheck. And then I showed them my paycheck. And then in 2 weeks, I left because I have to give them 2 weeks ahead.
Right.
It's the project. It's the first project. It's really big. It's like every library. It's like Cornell has so much book and they want to get more space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a certain amount of the books that they don't use a lot. They put it to the NX library.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big, huge storage.
Right, right.
So,
and everything has to be kept in order or it would be lost forever.
Right, right. Everything that transferred to the NX library, we get there, the books get there, we put them by side. We cite each of book
mm-hmm.
and put them into the box. It's like a tray.
Yeah.
And that each tray is we label them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that way we can retrieve the book easier.
Mm-hmm.
So we can find which tray we put the book in, mm-hmm. which sure. aisle. That's sure. how it's work.
Sure. And you've been working there for now 10 years. And
yes.
you were the first of your family, and 11 of your, or 12 of your siblings
mm-hmm.
are here now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that happen?
Well, after I've been here 2.5 years, that I keep thinking because I have to support my mother, sending money to her, and I thought, okay, this would be easier to bring them here
mm-hmm.
than send money back every month.
Right.
So then I talked to my mom that, okay, you need to come here. And then she okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I start filling out the paper. And also, the time is good because the U and ACRs are went into the refugee camp
right.
to work with the refugee who want to leave the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And come to United States.
And that's the United Nations High Commission for Refugees.
Right, right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's after I fill out the application here, then they send it to the office and they send it to Thailand. And then they call my mom for interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2007, November, is my mom is here.
Mm-hmm. And your mom came by herself?
No, she came with 6 of my brother and sister.
Wow.
And the other brother and sister came differently because they have their own family.
Right, right. So these were the younger brothers and sisters that your mom brought with her?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And let's cut to a little music, and we're going to come back to this story. Okay. And what would you like to play next?
You can pick any.
You have...
We can play choir.
Sure. Let me just. Is this the Karen God song?
Yes.
And that was I Will Lift Up My Eyes.
That's one we play in the last.
That's what we play for the last.
Yes.
Okay. So Karen. Okay, Karen Choir 8 or Karen Choir 3?
3. That's it.
3. Okay. Very good. And I am playing this as I'm also figuring out how to make it happen.
Okay.
Listening to WRFI Watkins Glen Ithaca, 88.1 in Ithaca and 91.9 in Watkins Glen. And this is the Made of Clay Report, and our guest on this hour is Paw Pa. And Paw, you, when I asked you about bringing music on the show, you said, music, all of my music is religious music. And I said, well, bring your music. And this is a piece of Karen music, in Karen, which is and what about it? Why is religious music so central to your life? And what about these songs are so special to you?
Well, my families are. Sometimes we sing a song. We practice choir. I thought I'm gonna send you one of the songs that we sing, mm-hmm. but I couldn't find it. I don't know where to. It's part of this. I think it's where we was living in the camp.
Right.
That's the only reason keep us close together in peace is just to practice the songs, go to church,
right.
Listen to music. So that's why I always listen to Christian song, church mm-hmm. music a lot.
Right. In English as well as in Karen, but mostly in Karen.
Right.
And so I just want to, I'm going to reiterate this just because being in the camps, you really can't work. No. You're kind of stuck, and you have 12 family members. Your dad arrived but died shortly thereafter. Your mother was there, and you were there with them for 2 or 3 years before you left, or maybe six years
yes.
before you found your way out to then find your way to the U.S. Mm-hmm. This is what kept you at peace with each other.
Right.
That's pretty amazing. And why, and what about this practice, doing the singing and going to services? What did it help you to cope with that you wouldn't have been able to cope with otherwise?
What can you rephrase the question?
Okay. If you hadn't gone to worship and to sing, what would your lives have been like?
Probably difficult, because I think is going to church is you see a lot of people that told you about good things, and also to me it's like you can rest and mm-hmm. has peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think my mom and my dad did a good job by just keep us together and done a good job by none of my brother and sister became alcoholics on drink and smoking, something like that.
Right.
And I'm really, really happy about that. And also when we came here, we got invited to a church like Presbyterian Church, mm-hmm. and we also sent as Unitarian Church,
mm-hmm.
and we went to Bethel Grove Bible Church,
mm-hmm.
so that our main church, we sometime sing there too,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that's music is a big part of our.
Right. And you go as a large extended family,
right,
to these different
mm-hmm.
congregations.
Mm-hmm.
So in effect, your family is a congregation.
Yeah, it's getting harder to get everybody together.
Sure.
Because when you start working, everybody has their own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
When they first came, no matter what, they have to, it's required for them to go to ESL class.
Right.
And at that time, it's like Saturday and Sunday, we are free to get together.
Right. But when you're done with that and you're working, everybody's schedule is different.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Have you been able, you are the oldest, are you the oldest male of the family here, or are you, or
no,
were you
I
just
have
the
my
first,
brother.
You're old, you have an older brother here.
Yes.
So, but are you still in a leadership role in the family? Have you been able to have a family of your own, or have you been so?
I did.
Okay.
I did. In 2009, I went back to Thailand to marry my high school sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
We met in high school, and since we separated in 1997, I never heard about her anymore.
Right.
And in 2006, one of my classmates that went to Georgia moved back to Ithaca.
Uh-huh.
And I asked about her, and then she told me that she's a singer.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So she gave me a phone number, and then I called her. We start talking. And that in 2009, I went back to marry her. And now we have two boys.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
One is 3 years old, and the other one is 2 years old.
Wow, wow. So you've been able to both sponsor your family, to help bring them out, as well as to have your own family.
Yeah, to bring the family here, they also have their own sponsors.
Right.
We don't have the refugee office here, we have to find them a sponsor, and the sponsor did really, really good job.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how much. It's like they hold a kid hand and that's walk you through every step of your life.
Right. And what were the kinds of things that they did with you, that they walked you through when you first?
It's like they take you to, they make a doc, take you to a doctor, they take you to social service,
mm-hmm.
they register the kid to school,
mm-hmm.
everything. It's like
everything that anyone would else would have to do moving here, but you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, so
mm-hmm.
they are the ones who know that.
Yes,
and they
are the
ones.
Yeah.
They drive
yes.
you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And until now, some of them, it's more than, it's like 8 years, they're still helping the family. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Right. And I would imagine that in some cases that the continuing on for 8 years would be really critical. And for some people, they don't need it quite as long. And it probably varies according to the relationship.
Well, yeah, it's, I think it's some sponsors are flexible. Sure. Whenever you call them, they mm-hmm. help. And also, I think they still need them because some of my families are, it's like we don't go to school well enough in Burma.
Right.
Because we have to relocate almost every year. And that's because the Burmese military came every year.
Right. To chase you away.
Yes.
And it took you several years to go from your where you lived to actually arriving in the camps. Or no?
No, it's like every year we move, but when the military go back, we go back to the village.
Right, okay, got it. Yes, I understand. Okay.
And by 1997 is this that
you
chasing.
You couldn't go back.
No.
Right.
Everybody had to leave.
Wow.
So.
Wow. What would you tell your father about your life here, if you could?
Well, I hope he's still alive and he's with us here. Mm-hmm. And my father he's quiet. He doesn't talk a lot. One thing I remember about my father is when I was about 5 years old, mm-hmm. he built a boat by the riverbank, and my older brother and I sat in the boat. We were playing, and then suddenly I pick up my father's pipe, and he told me, "Don't play with my pipe." And I giggle and that's laugh, and then I start lighting his pipe, and then we start smoke. Mm-hmm. After we finish one, I told my brother, "Let's do another one." And then my father didn't say anything. He just tried to let it through because mm-hmm. he wanted us to know how it's like. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do another one, and then we suddenly can see. I told my father, "Oh, I see you double. And he said, "I told you don't play with my pipe."
Right.
And that's one thing that I learned from him is by let us do something like that, you can remember a long time. After that, my brother, it's not smoke and I don't smoke.
Right.
It's like I learned a good lesson from him.
Right. He kind of made you sick. He kind of let you get sick by smoking.
Yes.
When you were really little and you never do it again.
Right. He had to carry me back home, and then my mom gave me a lemonade and I felt better.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a sweet memory of your father looking out for you.
Yeah.
When you're young.
So.
Yeah. How have you found Ithaca to be? How has this been a place for you? What has been easy and what has been hard coming here?
Well, Ithaca, it's not a big city.
No.
So that's one thing I like about Ithaca. I've been to Ohio, Wisconsin, Buffalo, and...
Were you visiting other Karen people there, or were you just traveling to see?
I travel in Ohio. I have a cousin there.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffalo, I have a friend. And Wisconsin is my wife. My brother-in-law is there.
Right.
So
your
just,
wife's brother. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I just visited them 2 weeks ago and came back. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy. And also I don't like traffic.
Right.
That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, that's why small town is better for me. And also it's a lot of mountain gorge.
Mm-hmm.
It's close. It's like the closer place, like more like where we live in Burma.
So where it was a little more hilly and rugged, not quite mountainous, but hilly and rugged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What would you like to go to for music for next song?
Whatever left, you can play any song.
Should we do the We Thank You, God?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Very good. And this will be in Karen, even though the English title is what I have it with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figure if I put the title in Karen, then you won't know. So.
Tim or something, yeah. Listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report, and our guest on this hour is Pa Pa. Pa, the Karen community, I always feel uncomfortable pronouncing words that I'm not real familiar with, but the Karen community is strong here, even though it's a small community. You are related, I imagine, to many of them.
Yes.
But it's bigger than your family.
Yes, mm-hmm. True. Just my family is extended family is over 60.
Uh-huh. And how many more are here?
I think it's the total include Burmese is about 200. I would say it's about 200. Mm-hmm. I never sit and figure out the...
Right. And when you're in Ithaca, are any of the traditional... because they're not all Karen. People.
Right, right.
There are many different ethnic groups. Are any of the problems that you would have had back in Burma still here, or are people able to kind of have more in common here than they would if they were back in Burma?
Well,
across the differences,
I think it's the only problem we have is with teenagers.
Uh huh.
They're easy to pick up the culture here,
right?
Faster than the parents. And also, of course, they go to school and they meet a lot of friends too.
Right.
It's depending on what kind of friends you make.
Right. What I'm inferring is that they may get into some activities around drugs or alcohol that would have been you would not find so that would have been problematic, and they may have a different respect for authority than they would have had for their parents and for their relatives.
Well, so far here is I'm very proud of them here, and I don't know I'm true or not, right or not, but I don't see any of them that's getting to a drug and anything yet. But I'm very happy about it. But for other place, it's being a big problem sometimes.
Were they in other parts of the U.S.?
Yes, it's like Syracuse, Utica, Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
It's like they have individualize the cancer so that it's very hard for the family.
Right. What of the customs, what of the ways of being do you try to maintain here in Ithaca that you had back in Burma?
Yes, to my family, yes. I try very hard to, you know, to they can pick up something that's good. Mm-hmm. If something that they shouldn't learn, that they should not pick up. And it's like my family, I can tell that, okay, you don't do that, I don't like it. We try to be here, but we try to manage our cultures too.
Sure. What pieces of your culture, what kinds of things that you do together, how do you teach your children? And I imagine some people have grandchildren now, but how do you teach your children the culture?
I think it's through church. When you have a church, you can talk to them. Mm-hmm. Or mostly the parents, each individual. I think it's depend on the family, the leader of the family. Uh-huh. That some of them don't even speak a Karen anymore.
Right.
So I try to push my family really hard. When the kid come home, they still speak Karen. But they do speak Karen, or they do understand. But when the parents talk to them, the littles, they respond in English.
Right. And you can change that a little bit, but for the most part, they're going to respond with what they're comfortable with.
Right.
Mm. Are there particular rituals around maintaining the home, or around gender roles or life events that you try to celebrate that are like you would have celebrated them back in Burma?
What do you mean by
like,
that?
Are there things around births or weddings or deaths or festival special meals? Are there specific times of events that you try to preserve in a Karen traditional way?
Yeah, in other places they do have Karen's New Year's, but here we never have it yet. Mm-hmm. And there's not many current people, and I don't know, I don't feel like I want to do it.
Right.
But in slide birthday party, that's we do have it. And sometime I have I call it to get together at my house, and we have service with the family. So that's the only thing that we do.
Right.
So far,
right.
By now.
Right. And have you had many weddings or other kinds or births to welcome into the community?
Yeah, I have three of my brother and sister married 2 or 3 years ago.
What do you look forward for yourself in your work and in your role here in the community? What do you look forward to? Because you're living your life in a place that you never thought you would live until it became necessary to move here. How do you want to grow old here?
What do you want to be doing? Yeah, first thing it's what I've been trying is to go to school more, to study more. And it's like my passion is to want to go back and not to live there, but want to help the children who do not have money to go to school to find the organization that would like to help them to build a school. And that's when I try to meet with my tutor. And I have a great tutor that she just recently moved back to Washington State. And she is a professor at Ithaca College. And she's very nice. And I have a hard time when she moved back.
Right.
I just Skype with her last night. And I talk about, I'm going to come into your retreat. And we talk about, I send her an email that you sent me so that we talk about that a little bit before I can come
talk about that.
And that's, I think, one thing that I want to be it to become speak more fluent English and also to develop my leadership so then I can help more people here.
Right.
But I don't know. It's
right. You don't, it's not clear how you're going to do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. How have you had, I'm going to ask this question and I may have to reframe it. How have you had to change the kind of person you are in ways that you never would have thought of? How have you had to become different than you, what did you think you would be when you were a small boy growing up? And how is what you are so very different than that?
Well, I think if after my father passed away and I start taking a leadership of the family,
mm-hmm.
and then I think it's my life has changed. You start thinking about, okay, what should I do to help the family?
Mm-hmm.
And also, as being a father of two boys,
right.
that plus I have to think about their future. And also my mom, I think it's especially my mom because she doesn't speak any English. So that's two things is have been changed my life since my father has passed away.
Right. And what do you hope for your, what do you hope that your sons will not have to learn that you have had to learn?
Well,
or is there anything from the experience?
Yeah, I don't, and I hope not that, and I know they won't have the same language I do,
mm-hmm.
and I want them to be come here. Now they live in, they don't even in Ithaca yet.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Thailand. My wife and my son is in Thailand. Right,
they're in Thailand.
Yes.
And so you're sending remittances back to support them.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Will your wife ever come here?
She will. We're working on that. It's very complicated. But my son became a United citizen now.
Uh-huh.
I plan to go back very soon and to bring them here.
Uh-huh.
Because the older one is 3 and he's ready for school.
Right, right.
So
your life is complicated.
It's really complicated.
Yeah, yeah. How often do you get to see your boys and your wife?
Once a year.
Once a year. Yes. Yeah.
But I talk to them every day. At least I try to call my boy. One is before I go to bed and one is before I go to work.
Uh-huh.
So that's they remember me.
Right. And there's a huge time difference. So you
Right. 12 hours. I think it's 12 hour difference.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very sweet. So you are living an international life at a fairly modest level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What have you had to learn about yourself in terms of what you're able to do? What have you had to learn that you're able to do that you didn't know that you would be able to do?
Well, I think it's when you come here, first thing is you study language. The second thing is here is technology.
Uh-huh.
So then I think you have to be able to learn to get a job. And when I met a tutor, that I also learned how to use computer
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
motivate myself to work. And it, I think that's one thing that I do.
Right. You never would have thought about working on a computer when you were back in Burma.
No.
But here it's almost essential.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And now the computer allows you to, I imagine, to talk with them on Skype. I don't know if you
do yes.
you Skype with them yeah. so they can see your face.
Yeah, I did set up Skype with them before, but uh-huh. my wife doesn't know how to handle it.
It's hard to handle.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So then I stop. And
Yeah. Okay, well, what we're going to have time for two more songs. What song would you like next?
Oh... What else we have?
God Hold My Hand.
Yes, please, that one.
Okay. And some of these have a little bit longer lead time to start.
You can fast at them, right?
Yeah, just a second here. Yeah. There we go. WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report, and our guest on this hour is Paul Pa. And what about that song was important for you to have us listen to it?
It's a song that's like, I would say that's gave me a strength that sometime when you are down and worries about something, that you listen to a song that I think it's like to a religion people like you, mm-hmm. only God can help you.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
So that's, I like that song because it's talk about it's like when you're weak or you mm-hmm. don't know how to handle your life, that's a good time to pray for God.
Right, and what I'm wondering, and I don't know whether I can even ask a good question about this, is in your situation, you've had to take care of yourself and others. Have you felt lonely, or have you felt like just you needed more help than you could possibly find?
Yes, sometimes I feel lonely. Well, a big part of the problem is I miss my son and my wife.
Yes.
So that.
Yeah, and they are the future that you're looking forward. I see you wanting to have an impact back there, but you want them here with you.
Right.
And you want to go back and help with education there for people who need it, but you have to get yourself stable here.
Right.
Most first-generation refugees or immigrants, you're spending a lot of time taking care of yourself, even though your heart is bigger than yourself.
It's true.
Yeah.
Also, I think I want them to get the best education here.
Right.
Because they live in Thailand, and if you're not citizen,
you're not getting a good education.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not getting much in the way of service. What would make it easier? What do people who are outside the Karen community, what do we need to know about your community, and what would make it easier from your point of view if we knew your community better?
Well, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer.
And it may not be a good question, you know?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Okay. But you're finding work. Among your community members are finding work. They're not having too much trouble finding work, I'm assuming.
No. Or are they? Thing is, pretty much, well, once we find a job, we ask the sponsor to help.
Mm-hmm.
The most difficult part is to fill out the application.
Right.
Oh my goodness, I always shake my head like that.
Right.
And pretty much when they get into the job, because they are a good worker,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have problem with that.
Yeah.
A lot of my family work at Star Hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
6 or 7 of them.
Right. There. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they would know a friend of mine named Ode Gad. Yeah. So. Anyway, good. Pa, it has been a wonderful privilege to get to know you. And you wanted to close this segment with the song, I Will Lift My Eyes.
That's my favorite
song. And why is that your favorite song?
I've been singing along for a long time, and it's like a prayer song for me.
Mm-hmm. So it's what you meditate on throughout the day.
It's
the way that you help to kind of take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask that, but those are general questions, but you have answered. The question I ask everybody is, what do you do to take care of yourself during the day? And you're telling me that this song is one of the things that you use. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me see if I can pull it. You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and that concludes the Made of Clay report.